C1PR. Number 1B.
Whereas science would come and say, look away. You must know the system. Go back to your system, to your 7 and to your 4. And if that is well understood, you just don't care if it's just 2 and 2. Bananas or apples or kippers or anything, or just 2 and 2 on the blackboard. That's science. Arithmetic is only concerned with its own realm. It only interprets itself through its own realm to its own realm. Why do we forget that? Because in science, in divine science, we don't do that very often. We are somehow mesmerized and sidetracked. Whereas we know so well, literally and intellectually, that science only interprets itself as science, and only interprets itself as science to itself, to science, never to bananas, never to a sick body, never to anything outside of God. God can never interpret itself through something outside of itself or to something outside of itself. This is not pure. Our whole religious history is the history of purity, of monotheism. First it was one God, then it was one Christ. Then it said there is only one life to live, that's the Christian life. Today it is the question, there is only one science, keep it pure. And we can only keep it pure if we stay within the realm of science. When we stay there where we interpret science only through the means of science and only to science and never to something outside of God. Little Johnny didn't know that. He was interested in bananas. And because he was interested in bananas, he knew what two bananas and two bananas are. But it didn't help him over any other problem. The moment he had two and two kippers, he faded. And so it is in divine science. If you are interested in phenomena outside of science, then we are not thinking in science. Now, when we go through the textbook, we will encounter that. Tomorrow, you will feel that already when we go through the very first page of prayer. You will sense that at once, the tone of science already. That science is always interested only in science. That God is only interested in God. He is not interested in error. And therefore, if we want to keep science pure, there is only one thing to do, that is to stay within the realm of science, whatever we do. If we approach science, if we interpret science, if we interpret science to what? Only to science. Or else, believe the purity of science. The textbook, namely, I think that's the question which you have asked yourself so often. The textbook doesn't give us an answer to individual problems of life. It doesn't say to you, shall I marry, shall I not marry? Is it allowed to marry or not allowed to marry? It doesn't give an answer, how shall I treat my boss? It doesn't say, shall I keep a garden or shall I not keep a garden? Shall I do this? Shall I not do that? Is it allowed to do this? Is it allowed to do that? Doesn't give an answer to that. The textbook practically gives no answer to individual problems. Thank God. If the textbook would try to give a scientific answer to all the problems that human life brings up, that textbook would have to fill the whole earth for each one of us. And so, really, when we begin to investigate that textbook, we'll find that she always tackles every question only principally. Only in principle. Never as such. Never as an individual question. And we will see as we go on only through the first chapter on prayer, how that whole sense of prayer, which each one has a different sense of prayer, how that whole sense of prayer reduced down to one prayer, namely the prayer of a principal prayer, the one prayer. Quite different with the Bible. The Bible teaches through many symbols, through many stories. The textbook is the textbook of today, which appeals to the scientific mind, which can think scientifically and principled. Now, another point. If we have the root, we have the whole tree. If our love, consecration, energy, desire, devotion is directed to the root, to the system of science, this is creative. The root, from the root, blossoms the whole tree. And only as we have a sense of the principle of this science becomes our life, our true life, our spiritual life, really creative. You see, we all would like to be creative. Something in us is always there which says, I would like to be creative. I would like that new inspiration would come, would flood my thought. Well, that's a wonderful desire. But science tells us that only out of a knowledge of the principle of a science, new vistas, new insight can spring up. Only that mathematician who knows the depths, the profundity of the mathematical system is able to catch a new tone, to go deeper into realism, to go deeper into his subject. Because only a system is creative. Is truly creative. But we can have no that creativity of life, that newness of life, that inspiration of life. We can't have that except that life is based on principle. That's what we will learn all these weeks in the textbook. That wonderful sense that nothing new will spring up in thought. That no progress is going to be unfolded to us unless we first go back to our principle. Unless I go back to principle which which is what? Which is mind and spirit and soul. And we'll see that through the tones very clearly as we go through the chapter on prayer. Unless I have that firm foundation in principle, there is nothing new to grow. So, that old query in the Bible, where the patriarchs were longing to have a child out of their own loins, where they were longing to see further, deeper, higher, wider. They were always having the promise that it must come out of their own loins, that it must come out of their own principled understanding of reality, that it cannot come by listening to somebody else, that this is something which no other one can give to the other one. And every time they tried to sidestep this principled attitude, like Abraham, he always got an adopted child, a child which was not the promised child, a child which was always to give trouble to him and to the Israelites afterwards. And so it is with us. Will I just bring up this point, and we'll go over it as we go on more and more, that the essence of a science is that only as we grasp the fundamentals of the science, the principle of the science, that this principle out of its own loins is life. Life comes out of the principle. That order can't be sidestepped. That's the beauty of a science, that one can't sidestep an order. And that order says, I bring newness of life only on the ground of principle. And principle says to us, principle means if we have been principled through mind, spirit, and soul to have a principled attitude, a principled consciousness. On that foundation, on that ground, the root is firmly grounded. On that ground, the tree of life, truth and love can grow. And that we will see. That is one of the big beauties. So, let's sum up this last point. That's something new is being born to each one of us, that something deeper is going to be given to each one of us, that our true individuality is going to be born to us the moment we see that our attitude must be based on science, on systems. And if we see that, we don't try to sidestep the issue. There's another point which I want to stress about science. And that is this. What we seek, we find. An old law. So, let's be always aware. What do I seek? We say, well, I seek God. Well, that's all right, that's fine. But what sort of God do I seek? God is only G-O-D, unless I define it. Do I seek God so that he comes to me and serves me? Do I seek God so that God is my helper and just does do what I like him to do, then I seek a God which doesn't exist, except in my imagination. God is no servant of man. God is bigger than our wishes and our directions and our informations. God is a big subject. And so I must really ask myself, what do I seek? If I seek God as a science, well, then I seek God as he is. Because if I seek God as a science, I know very well that science is no respecter of person. That science is something which is in itself complete, harmonious, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniactive, and that I have to serve that science. That's quite a different attitude than if I seek God or if I seek a science so that it serves me. In every science in human life, we take that as granted. That if I study a subject, I have to submit myself entirely to the truth of this science. And unless I use the rules of this science, I can't get the demonstration of this science. So here too, it is the big question, with what aim and purpose, deep in my heart, right deep in my heart, there where I can't fool myself anymore, what do I seek? Do I seek the loaves and the fishes or not? Science says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all the things will be added unto you. But it is a seeking of the finest and sublimest nature, to seek truth for truth's sake. It is that which Mrs. Eddy perhaps also meant when she said, God gives you a spiritual idea, and in return, they give you daily supply. It's always that attitude which somehow we have to culture in ourselves, because the egoistic sense in us is strong, because all that which is egoistic wants to claim God as his servant. We have to get rid of that first. We have to be clear from day to day, what do I seek and for what purpose do I seek? If I seek God, you see, if I seek God for any purpose which is limited to me, to have a better home, to have a better job, to have more money, to have this and that nicer, I'm going to limit the infinite, and therefore I'm not thinking in the realm of science. I can only approach the infinite in order to reach the infinite. If I try to reach the infinite in order to get something limited, then I am not in the realm of science. I get out of the realm of science, because the realm of science is infinite. So, even there where the seeking comes in, there must be that gentle but humble sense where the human self must bow down to the sense of principle, where it says, oh no, I don't want something little, I want the all. I don't want one leaf on the tree, and that specific leaf there on the right side on that and that branch. No. I want root, and I get the whole tree, and then I have every leaf of the tree. It's like Saul, when he lost his ass. Well, what did he do? He went to Samuel, and Samuel just crowned him king and said, now you are king over the whole Israel. Now you have found the ass. If we take the whole, why should we be worried about the detail? If we are king of the realm, well, then we have all. So, the solution of our life problem is so simple and yet so big. It is so simple that it says, seek the root and you earn and you inherit the all. But if I seek the little, I can never have a real foundation and I can never find the little. So, this term science is a wonderful term. It implies in itself so much more than what we usually think about science. Here it says, take the root and you are king over the whole earth, over heaven and earth. Then you seek science as it is. But if our mentality is limited and under the cover of meekness says, oh no, I just want a little bit, just that little bit for myself, I shall be very satisfied with that, we are not working in science. Because the science of God always is embracing the all, is infinite. And therefore it says to us, widen your thought. Don't be little and small. Don't run after this and that and that problem. Don't be concerned morning, noon and night, how can I use science to this and that little problem. Start with getting a good foundation. Science. The foundation of your seven and your four. And if all our interest and love and consecration just goes to that wonderful question every day and says, I wonder. I really wonder what those seven really mean. I really wonder what it's all about. And so just worship that seven and worship that seven. And out of that root grows so naturally everything in our life. From morning, noon and night, all those thousand little problems just fall away because of their littleness and their limitations, their narrowness. They just fall away. In the balance of science, that wonderful balance of science which says, only get me, the root, and you can have the infinitude of phenomena.